Good evening. I'm glad you all could join me tonight. I'm blessed by my cousins being here as well. It's a sight I'm not used to. Well, for those of you who don't know, when Dave asks you to speak, you do it. And I wanted to talk about love. And Dave raised a very valid point that it's going to be hard to squeeze all of love into a single sermon. So what I ended up doing is breaking my sermon apart into three parts. This is the third and final part of that. The first time I spoke in December, and I talked about God's love. And I talked about how we were created out of love. And that people always fall short of what God wants for us. And yet, like a father, he has compassion on us. He even strengthens and guides us. I talked about how God loves sinners, and that nothing can separate us from God's love. In March, when I spoke last, I talked about how important it is to love God. I talked about how God wants us to prove our love for him, and how we can't serve two masters. God must be at the top of our pyramid or our priorities. And I talked about the difference between love and perfect love, and that if we have perfect love for God, then we will obey his commands. And if we do that, we'll be rewarded. I want to ask you, what does it mean to be a Christian? If you'll turn with me, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. That's Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." I'm going to say that again, and I'm going to hold up my Bible. This is my Bible today. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. This is the driving theme of all three of my sermons on love. And having read that verse to you, I can now walk away. My sermon is complete. But I won't do that, because I want to grace you guys with the pleasure of my voice. Now, I want to delve deeper into these verses and see what conclusions we can draw from them. So as I continue, I want you to maintain that verse that I read to you in your head and relate everything that you hear to that. I'm going to read 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 11 through 12 and verses 19 through 21. That's 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 through 12 and 19 through 21. "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." Loving God is first and foremost. It is the most important thing that we can do, but it's tied to loving our brothers and sisters. Allow me to read from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Above all, love others deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We can't argue that loving God is not the most important thing we can do. If so, then you should talk to someone who heard my last sermon. It is the most important thing we can do, but is it enough? Can we worship God and live our lives how he asks us to live without interaction with others? Or if we don't fellowship because we don't like things having to do with the church, we don't get along with others well, people make us mad, we find others to be hypocrites. Peter calls us to love each other deeply, and out of that deep love, serve others. And when we do these two things, it leads to us being faithful stewards of God's grace. So we know to love others. That's clear in the Bible. God commands it. Jesus says it's the most important, second most important thing we can do. So how do we show our love for our brothers and sisters? Here's what the Bible says. By talking to each other in a friendly manner with a smile on our face after service is dismissed. No? No, it doesn't say that? You mean I can't just say hi to somebody, converse with them politely, and go on my way, enough done? It's not enough, is it? Let me read for you Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. That's Luke 6, 27 through 36. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So the Bible tells us to be a good person. Love your enemy. Do this. Don't do that. Lend to people. Avoid this. If it says there's anything that we can't do, all we have to do is refrain from doing that, and we'll be justified before God. But didn't the Pharisees have a set of rules that they adhered to? Let's read Romans 12, verses 9 through 18. Romans 12, 9 through 18. And it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We're told to honor others above ourselves. That's a selfless act right there. That's love. We're told to not be proud or conceited. That's love. We're told to practice hospitality, and that's love. But do we really need it spelled out for us? Don't kill your brother, that's not love. Love is what it means to be a Christian. When we live our lives according to love, we look like Christians. When I think about what it means to be a Christian, I look at the life of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our perfect example of how we should live our lives. So for me to be a good Christian, I need to be Christ-like. But what was Jesus like? He is perfect love, we know that. He showed perfect love from when he lived traveling around the countryside healing people, when he died on the cross for us. Even by coming to earth, Christ was driven by love. Love for us and love for the Father. So what happens when we love others? I'm going to read Ephesians 4. Verses 2 through 3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And there it is again, that word in there, peace. It's the same as I read in Romans chapter 12. Peace with everyone, unity of the Spirit. We know that we must love each other, and we know how to love others. We know that when we love others, it leads to peace. It shapes our actions, our words, and our thoughts. And that's the peace and unity that God planned for us. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the Christian band For King and Country. It's a modern Christian contemporary music band. But I like their music, and one song in particular kind of speaks to my message here tonight. In it, for the lyrics, they use a paraphrase, and I want to share this with you. So this is not 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, is a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. If I speak with human eloquence, an angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all of his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith to say to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So, no matter what I say, no matter what I believe, no matter what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love God and love others. All the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments. If you want to feel loved, if you don't feel loved tonight, if you want to further convict yourself, if you feel like you aren't doing enough, or if you need to talk to someone, I urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing.